Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kuni Kiri Govardhani Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhami Ki Jai Navadvipa Dhami Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yavat Saka Sakur Ivesha Te Krita Praja Visarge Vibhajami Bo Janam Aviklavas Te Parikramani Stito Ma Me Samunada Not ma, see, Mado Ja Mani see, Mani Ma see, Mani Na okay. Yavat Saka Sakur Ivesha Te Krita Praja Visarge Vibhajami Bo Janam Aviklavaste parikarmani stito Mame sumunad da ma madoja manina Someone could chant. And the Maharshi, did you see chant? Okay, no one? Okay. Okay, word for word. Yavat, as it is. Sakya, friend. Sakyu, unto the friend. Eva, like that. Isha, O Lord. Te, you. Kritaha, have accepted. Praja, the living entities. Visarge, in the matter of creation. Vibhajami, as I shall do it differently. Bo, O my Lord. Janam, those who are born. Avik Lavaha, without being perturbed. Te, your. Parikramani, in the matter of service. Stitaha, thus situated. Ma, may it never be. Me, unto me. Samud, nada, resulting arise. Madaha, madness. Aja, O unborn one. Mani naha, thus being thought of. Translation. O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me just as a friend does with a friend, as if an equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation, but I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the Supreme. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma is definitely situated in the humor of friendship with the Lord. Every living being is eternally related with the personality of Godhead in one of five different transcendental humors, namely Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. We have already discussed these five kinds of humors in relationship with the personality of Godhead. It is clearly exhibited herein that Lord Brahma is related to the personality of Godhead in the transcendental humor of friendship. A pure devotee may be related with the Lord in any one of the transcendental humors, even in the humor of parenthood. But the devotee of the Lord is always a transcendental servitor. No one is equal to or greater than the Lord. That is the version of the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmaji, although eternally related with the Lord in the transcendental humor of friendship, and although entrusted with the most exalted post of creating different grades of living entities, is still conscious of his position that he is neither the Supreme Lord nor supremely powerful. It is possible that some extremely powerful personality within or without the universe may sometimes show more power than the Lord himself. Still, the pure devotee knows that this power is a vibhuti, delegated by the Lord, and such a delegated, powerful living entity is never independent. Sri Hanumanji crossed the Indian Ocean by jumping over the sea, and Lord Sri Ramachandra engaged himself in marching over the bridge. But this does not mean that Hanumanji was more powerful than the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives extraordinary powers to his devotee, but the devotee knows always that the power belongs to the personality of Godhead and that the devotee is only an instrument. The pure devotee is never puffed up like the non-devotee class of men who falsely think that they are God. It is astounding to see how a person who is being kicked by the laws of the Lord's illusionary energy at every step can falsely think of becoming one with the Lord. Such thinking is the last snare of the illusionary energy offered to the conditioned soul. The first illusion is that he wants to become the Lord of the material world by accumulating wealth and power. But when he is frustrated in that attempt, he wants to become one with the Lord. So both becoming the most powerful man in the material world and desiring to become one with the Lord are different illusionary snares. And because the pure devotees of the Lord are surrendered souls, they are above the illusionary snares of Maya. Because Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, even though the first dominating deity in the material world and therefore able to do many wonderful things, he would never, like the non-devotee with the poor fund of knowledge, have the audacity to think of becoming one with the Lord. People with a poor fund of knowledge should take lessons from Brahma when they are puffed up with the false notion of becoming God. Factually, Lord Brahma does not create the living entities. In the beginning of the creation, he is empowered to give different bodily shapes to the living entities according to their work during the last millennium. Brahmaji's duty is just to wake the living entities from their slumber and to engage them in their different in their proper duty. The different grades of the living entities are not created by Brahmaji by his capricious whims, but he is entrusted with the task of giving the living entities different grades of body so that they can work accordingly. And still, he is conscious that he is only instrumental so that he may not think of himself as a supreme powerful Lord. Devotees of the Lord are engaged in the specific duty offered by the Lord, and such duties are successfully carried out without hindrance because they are ordained by the Lord. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. But persons with a poor fund of knowledge take the credit of success unto their own accounts and give nothing to the credit of the Lord. That is a symptom of the non-devotee class of men. Nama Om Vishnubaraya Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Praskacha Deshatarate. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions about the living entities all have a specific, or they have a relationship with the Lord. So that's the relationship of neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. So we all have these relationships with Krishna, and whatever relationship we have with Krishna, we are fully satisfied. We are happy in that relationship. It's not that, oh, I'm simply a desire tree and I'd rather be a cowherd boy of a gopi. No, one is simply satisfied in his position serving Krishna. And so this position, what we will, that will be revealed to us once we become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Before, some devotees were thinking, in this movement, they were thinking that they want to become great devotees, like cowherd boys, or specifically they would want to become gopis. And Prabhupada said, no, first deserve, then desire. So first we have to come to a very high platform of self-realization, then we could think about desiring to become this relationship or that relationship. First, we have to follow the process of devotional service and gradually become purified and understanding we're not this body, and then we could attempt to understand what our actual relationship is with Krishna. So in here, in the verse, Lord Brahma, he doesn't want to become proud of his position. So pride is very detrimental in devotional service, and so devotees stay away from this position, this quality of pride. And this is the beginning of knowledge. Pride, humility, or the opposite of pride, of course, is humility. And this is the beginning of knowledge, is humility. Humility means that one is not anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. So we are suffering so much in this material world. And the problem is, in the material world, people are so proud. Actually, because they came to this material world because they wanted to become the supreme enjoyer. They wanted to become God. So they carry this with them. And in their pride, they think that they are God. That even though they would be kicked by Maya at every moment, they think they're the controllers. And in this attitude, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. If one expects some honor in this world, spiritual life is not possible. So we have to be humble in our position. This is one of the transcendental qualities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, free from the passion for honor. So these are one of the divine qualities that men have, that are endowed with divine nature. And those who are advanced in spiritual life, it is stated that one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. For him, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress are all the same. So, in one who is working in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, or one who is in the mode of goodness, he performs his work without expectations of results because he is free from false ego and pride. And even though he's not attached to the results of his activities, still he performs his work enthusiastically until the completion of such work. And he is free, devotee is free from false pride and false prestige. He takes equally honor and dishonor, praise and blame to be the same. And because of that, he's able to attain the platform of self-realization. He's able to transcend the modes of the material nature. He's able to attain to that eternal kingdom. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he is very dear to me. So, in order to become Krishna consciousness, we have to surrender to Krishna. And in order to surrender to Krishna, the first qualification is we have to be free from pride. Otherwise, it is not possible. if we think we're the Lord of this material world, how could we surrender to Krishna? We should understand that we always are the servant of Krishna. And if we don't accept that we're the servant of Krishna, then we have to serve Maya. So this is the first qualification of surrender. Of course, we know what surrender is, to accept things favorable for the discharge of devotional service and reject things that are unfavorable. So there's different qualities like that. But the first qualification of surrender is to be free from pride. And also, in devotional service, we have to be tolerant. And tolerant means we have to be free from honor and dishonor. Because while we're engaging in Krishna consciousness, executing Krishna consciousness, we will be harassed in so many ways. Just by cultivating Krishna consciousness, so many people will harass us. They will call us so many names, that you're useless, once you do something valuable, once you get a job, you know, or they will persecute us, throw us in prison. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he only wanted to remember Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, but his father was so angry at him that he wanted to kill his own son. But Prahlad Maharaj tolerated his father, and he went on remembering Krishna and just depended upon Krishna. So in this way, we have to be tolerant, and we have to go on with our Krishna consciousness with determination. And also, one of the qualities of devotee is that he's patient. And patience, the opulence of patience, is there when, even though one is fully qualified, he is humble and gentle, and he is equal both in happiness and distress. And in order to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, as Lord Chaitanya says, that one has to be humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. So this is one of the qualities we have to come to. We have to be humbler than a blade of grass. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to chant the holy name of the Lord. So one has to be humbler than a blade of grass, and one has to be careful about one's being proud of one's material assets. So there's four different material assets in the material world. One takes birth in an aristocratic family, one has wealth, one has education, and one has beauty. So these could be actually a hindrance in one's devotional service. Stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers of Queen Kunti, that those who are enamored with these four different opulences, they can't chant the holy name of the Lord feelingly. So, of course, by chanting the holy name, there is great benefit, but still there's the difference in quality. So if one's too proud with these material opulences, then it's very difficult to feelingly engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So we have to be careful with this pride. As mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, that because the gopis became proud, that Krishna, he left the gopis. He left the gopis in the rasa dance because they were proud. So Krishna doesn't like to see his devotees proud. If they become proud, then he changes his attitude towards them. So the devotees are very humble. Just like the example is of Bhishma, Grandfather Bhishma. At the time, during the time of his death, he wanted to again see the face of Krishna, because he felt that that he may not be able to see the Lord anymore. So he was very anxious to see Krishna. So in this way, a devotee is a very humble, although we know the Lord assures that the pure devotee will go back to home, back to God, but still, a devotee is very humble in that situation. And this humility is exhibited. The example is given of those in the renounced order of life, sannyas. Out of sheer humility, they go door to door. Not exactly for begging, but to see the householders, to enlighten them, to become Krishna conscious. And this pride is there. There's false pride and there's real pride. So Maharaj Parikshit, at the time of his death, so many great sages and devotees came during the time of his departure, and he felt grateful to them. But he felt that they came because of the greatness of his forefathers, the Pandavas. So in this way, he felt proud to be a descendant of such great devotees. So this is a real pride, but pride for material prosperity, this is simply false and full of vanity. So pride is also there. Pride is there in the non-devotees. They are very proud of their knowledge, but their knowledge is insufficient. So if one's very proud of one's insufficient knowledge, he is known as a fool or a mudha. But one may be proud if he has complete knowledge. So in this way, one may be proud that, oh, I have this complete knowledge, the previous acharyas from Srila Prabhupada, from this Vedic literature. So this is, one may be proud in that way. One devotee was asking in a lecture, a Bhagavad Gita lecture, about pride, and Prabhupada said, "No, we don't reject pride. We accept pride that I am doing this service nicely for Krishna. So we accept anything in that way. So in this way, it's sometimes stated that pride is good or it's not. So one has to consider the context of one's position and the circumstances. In this way, one can understand if this pride is real pride or if this pride is false pride. So the materialist, there's those in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And pride is exhibited by these different persons in these different modes in different ways. So those in the mode of passion, they perform sacrifice out of pride. And also they perform austerities out of pride. And in this way they want respect, honor, and worship. Those in the mode of passion, that's what, from their austerities, that's what they want. In this way, they make arrangements for the subordinates to wash their feet and give them riches. So this is in the mode of passion. So those in the mode of ignorance, they have determination. Their determination is explained as having pride and to enjoy material objects. So this is the mode of ignorance. They're very happy, very proud. Oh, I'm enjoying so much in my eating, sleeping, mating, and offending. But this is simply determination in the mode of ignorance. And the demons, they take pride in their austerities. And they are simply proud. The demons are proud in their wealth and their education, and they in this way they want to be worshipped, and they demand respect, although they do not command respect. So in this way, the demons, they are induced by pride and false prestige, and they are bewildered in this way. In this way, they're bewildered by the modes of material nature, and they become fallen in the material pool of material existence. So this pride is manifest in different classes of men. So we find that sometimes the brahmanas, they become proud. Simply they become proud because they're born in a brahmana family. So formerly the demons that were inimical towards the Lord, but were not killed by him. They had the opportunity, Krishna gave them the opportunity to take birth in brahmana families. And this way, he gave them a chance to become purified. But instead of taking advantage of that situation, they became simply proud of their birthright. So in this way, they became puffed up in their situation. And the Sudras are also mentioned as a class who should not be come up by false prestige and honor. But instead, they should stay in their position, and they should offer service to the higher classes. In this way, the social order can go on very nicely. And also, as mentioned, then in modern education, modern education has been artificially devised to give women a puffed-up conception of womanly life. And thus, in modern society, marriage is practically an imagination. Although, in this way, the position of women is not very good. Although those who are married are happier than those who are proclaiming their so-called freedom. So, we shouldn't become proud of whatever we have. Krishna gives us so many things, and he takes everything away. All this power belongs to Krishna. Just like Arjuna mentions in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that he says, I had the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I use them as the very same Arjuna to whom many kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them in a moment's notice have become null and void. This is exactly like offering clarified butter into ashes, accumulating wealth with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. So this power Krishna gives, and Krishna could take it away. So in this way, we have to utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service and acknowledge that this is given to him, given by him to us. And this way, we shouldn't become arrogant. But we understand that there's simply, we shouldn't be puffed up, as Prabhupada explained, by borrowed plumes. So this borrowed plumes, this is from one fable. It's mentioned how there was one jaybird, and he came across a place where peacocks had molded their feathers. So he took the feathers up, and he tied it to his tail, And he walked up to the, very proudly to the peacocks, who could immediately understand the cheater, and they pecked at him and took off all his feathers. So not able to do anything, he simply went back to his fellow jaybirds, who saw the whole thing. And they told the jay that simply fine feathers don't make for a fine bird. So in this way, we shouldn't be puffed up. Anything could be taken away from us at any moment. It's mentioned in the first canon of Srimad Bhagavatam that the time factor, eternal time, takes away our very dear life. What to speak of our land, our home, our children, our wife, our honor, everything is taken away. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in that connection that that one very famous scientist, great scientist in India, and was making making big plans, very big plans, and on his way to a very big planning commission, he was suddenly called by eternal time. In this way, he had to give up everything. His life, his land, his wife, everything was taken away. And similarly, during the political upsurge in India, when India was dividing into Pakistan and Hindustan, so many wealthy Indians had so much prestige and honor, everything was taken away from them. So in this way, there's hundreds of thousands of examples of this all over the world, all over the universe. And so many poets have described the sadness of the influence of time. So in this way, we have to understand that so many things are not under our control. So many things go in our daily experience. So we just have to suffer them or tolerate them and without any remedial measure. So in this way, we have to see the situation. This is a sign of one of the signs of knowledge. One has perception of the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. So in this way, if we're serious, we should understand this. Because this is a situation for everybody in this material world. Nobody gets out alive. So we have to understand that. We can't close our eyes. Oh, it's okay. It will work out all right. It never works out all right for anybody. Nobody has been successful trying to become happy in this material world. It always comes to a bad end. Except for those devotees who engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their life is successful, and they go back to home, back to Godhead. But back to Godhead. Thank you very much. So, are there any questions or comments on these points? Yes, Maharaj?
First, I want to thank you very much for a very illuminating class on the principles of humility and how they help us grow in spiritual life, and the principle of pride and arrogance and how they destroy spiritual life. So I thought you handled that quite completely and very nicely. I just wanted to add an example which you gave Prahlad Maharaj. He was beaten. His father tried to kill him. Nonetheless, as you said, he tolerated it. That's an example of humility. But it goes beyond that. He not only tolerated the beatings and the attempt to kill him, but he also had much compassion, affection, and love for him to the extent that he prayed for his enlightenment so that he would not fall into hell. So this is what is called real pride and real humility, that he was not affected by what came to him. So that was the first thing I wanted to mention. The second thing I wanted to just add to what you had said about real pride and false pride. So we should understand that false pride simply means that it's for myself. I'm great, I'm glorious, I'm wonderful, I'm the best. This is false pride when it goes to one's own body or one's self. And real pride is pride which goes to the glory of Krishna. Krishna is wonderful. Krishna is glorious. Krishna is amazing. Krishna is compassionate. Krishna has so many wonderful things. When we think in those terms and not for ourselves, but to the greatness of Krishna, that is real pride. And Krishna blesses us as a result of forsaking false pride and giving all glory to him.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes? Back there.
Thank you for a very bona fide class. I felt like I was listening to a synthesis of many Prabhupada purports, lectures, etc., just all focused in on that one point about being careful about the pitfall of pride. Thank you very much. So my question is this. It's from the purport, and it's something that you didn't touch upon, but not to, that's okay. But Prabhupada says, it is clearly exhibited herein that Lord Brahma is related to the personality of Godhead in the transcendental humor of friendship. And when I heard that, I was just remembering that recording that Prabhupada did, which I'm sure you've heard, we've all heard, where he chants the Chintamani prayer, and then he gives a little purport after the Chintamani prayer, and I was able to find it. He goes, he quotes this verse from the Bhakti, his spiritual master's copy of the Brahma Samhita. He says, enlightened by the recollection of the Gayatri, that Gayatri embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all the Vedas, with this hymn. Then Prabhupada goes on to, he says all this in his little purport. He says, Brahma thought within himself, by the recollection of Kam Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. Though the other mysteries in regard to the condition, that's Brahma speaking. Then now back to Bhaktisiddhanta. He says, though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him. And then it goes on. And I'll, just for the sake of brevity, I won't read the rest, but does that sound familiar to you? You've heard that recording?
Yeah.
So how do we understand that? Here it's saying that Brahma was, he's definitely has a relationship of friendship, but in that purport that Prabhupada gives to the, that verse from the Brahma Samhita, it seems to be saying that he's a maidservant, which would indicate, I guess, a gopi.
So here in the purport, it mentions that Lord Brahma's in friendship, and another place is mentioned that he's a maidservant. So if we want to understand these things, we have to hear from the acharyas. We have to hear from Srila Prabhupada. So unless we have some further information to come to any other conclusion, it's simply mental speculation. So in this way, I don't want to engage in such activities. So anybody else have any? Yes?
Thank you for a wonderful class. Prabhu, you were talking about Queen Kunti's prayers, and you were telling that how high birth, wealth, and all this is an impediment to chant Krishna's name with the whole heart. But we see examples like George Harrison, even today, how much preaching he's doing by his position he had. Many took up to chanting Hare Krishna just by coming in contact with him. So we see time and again that these things that we talk about, this Queen Kunti tells in her prayers, are actually very good impetus for preaching, and many take up to Krishna consciousness because somebody else has those things. So how do we reconcile this apparent contradiction?
No, I mean, anybody could become Krishna conscious. Not that I have a lot of money or I'm beautiful or I'm intelligent. the point is, one has to be very careful about these things. And, George Harrison, he gave so much money to Krishna consciousness and helped spread Krishna consciousness by introducing people to Krishna consciousness. So he was chanting Hare Krishna, but there, like Prabhupada said in the purport, there's a difference between the power of the holy name in terms of, the result, the great effect is there, but there's also the effect of the quality of the chanting. So that's when the quality is there, that's when real advancement takes place like that. So it's... The point is, one has to be very careful. And these things, a lot of times, these are a detriment to Krishna consciousness. And one just, one's very proud, or one thinks one knows better than this. Oh, I know so much knowledge. I think I'm better than the spiritual master. I got a PhD. He doesn't have a PhD. Who is he to tell me what I should know? So this could actually be, one has to be very careful. And that's a point. Anything else?
I just wanted to make a very brief comment on Gaudachandra's point, is that since Brahma was a friend of the Supreme Lord, and why didn't the Supreme Lord reveal everything to him? The Supreme Lord reserves that right to give only whatever he feels is useful or beneficial or helpful to that particular devotee and leave it at that. In other words, he doesn't have to reveal all his knowledge to him, but he reveals whatever he feels that devotee needs for further progress and further development. So there may be some limitation, but that is because Krishna feels that limitation should be there at that time.
Okay. Right. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga.